నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సర్వంత స్వాగత. యూఆర్ ఆల్ వెల్కమ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఏకాదశి డే టుడే. ఉత్పన్న నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ఏకాదశి. టుడేస్ ఏకాదశి ఉత్పన్న ఏకాదశి. ఏకాదశి ఆన్ ఏకాదశి దర్స్ అ ఫెస్టివల్ ఇన్ పండర్పూర్. ఇట్స్ అ ఫెస్టివల్ డే. We saw so many pilgrims in the river Chandrabhaga taking holy dip. They take holy dip, snan, Chandrabhaga, snan. Name of the river is Chandrabhaga. All the holy rivers, they emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Their origin is Lord's lotus feet. So anyone who takes bath in such holy places, such holy rivers, is connected with Lord's lotus feet. Wherever he's taking bath here, and the water, sacred water current coming from Lord's lotus feet, so there's a connection, there's a relation. Hari bo. Hari. Hari. I read that about Ganga. The Lord is very merciful. And full of kindness, especially the souls all over the universe, forgotten Lord, and Lord cannot forget him, so his heart goes to the living entities. He's always thinking of their welfare. How could they come back to him? Lord is full of these thoughts. Is missing those parts and parcels, the living entities. His heart melts when he thinks of all those souls all over. So, when Lord's heart melts, which is full of mercy and full of compassion, full of concern, full of affection, care, so that heart begins, those feelings begin flowing from Lord's heart, and they flow in the form of the sacred waters of Ganga. His heart is flowing. His feelings are going down into the river and going this way and that way, trying to meet those souls, and touch those souls. So, and coming from his heart, and then coming from his feet, those waters. Bhimani Chandrabhaga Tuja Charani Cha Ganga. Bhimani Chandrabhaga. It's a song popular in amongst the devotees of Lord Vitthal Pandurang. Lord is known as Vitthal Pandurang here in Pandharpur. So they sing like this. Chandrabhaga, Bhima, same river, two names. Here it is called Chandrabhaga, a portion of moon. It goes around the town of Pandharpur, Dham of Pandharpur, in a semi-circular form. Semi-circular, you say? Crescent form, like a moon has a crescent moon, not full moon, not half moon, less than half moon. Crescent moon. So Chandra, you know Chandra, Surya, Chandra. Chandra means moon, Bhag means portion, Bhag. Chandra Bhag, Chandra Bhaga, small portion of the moon. So she takes around like that, around this dham. So she gets the name Chandrabhaga. Otherwise, her another name is Bhima. So Bhima ani Chandrabhaga, Tuja Charani Cha Ganga. So these waters of Chandrabhaga are the Ganga, as if Chandrabhaga is Ganga coming from your feet, emanating from your lotus feet. That's how Chandrabhaga is glorified. So coming from his mind and from his heart and from his feet, it's like those waters are washing the body of the Lord, and then coming down from, emanating from his feet. So it is also like a charanamrit. The deities are bathed in the temple, abhishek, pancha abhishek, pancha gavya abhishek. And those sacred substances which wash the body, then finally coming down from his feet, then it is described as charanamrit. Amrit, the nectar from Lord's lotus feet. So holy rivers are like that. But it is not just Amrit, but mixed with Lord's kindness, Lord's feelings for his people, his devotees, his souls. They are his parts and parcels. So those who take bath in these rivers, those who take few drops even on their heads and few in the mouth, three on the head, three in the mouth, then Radha Pandurinath ki. So that way, it is the Lord is touching the souls. Lord, so that's one kind of yoga, link with the Lord. Through the sacred waters of the holy rivers, Lord is communicating, and Lord is touching, contacting those souls. Revive their devotion for the Lord, love for the Lord. So one such river, Chandrabhaga, is here. Our ISKCON Pandharpur project is right on the bank of the river. I'm sure you have noticed. Did you have darshan of Chandrabhaga this morning? Yes? Did you see? Everyone has seen Chandrabhaga. But seeing is not enough. Touching, bathing, few drops drinking is also essential. So that you will, as you heard the announcement, you'll have a time to enter the sacred waters of Chandrabhaga after morning program, morning class. Today's prasadam is not after the class. Today's Ekadasi, time for some austerities. And at the same time, it's good for health, fasting. By the way, where these festivals are designed, and the fasting is accommodated, it is also meant for good health, for betterment of health. Langhanam paramaushadham, it is said. Langhanam, fasting. Langhan also, I also take care of. So fasting is a medicine. Fasting is a cure. Unknowingly, you become free from so many diseases, or you don't invite the disease, or you don't let the disease settle into your body or thrive in your body. It is thrown out by fasting, regular fasting. And then you get a double benefit. It's good for health. And you also, when you are fasting for the Lord or undergoing yat tapasyasi tad kuru sumadarpanam, tapasya that you perform, or whatever you do, whatever you eat, charities you give, do that for me, Lord says. So performance of tapasya, austerity, that is done for the Lord. Lord is pleased. That's a process. So we should welcome these austerities in our lives. It's another fasting day. Oh, I wish there's a feast today also. The fasting in India they call upavas. Very well. Upavas. Today is upavas. Fasting is called upvas. That's one. But there's another deeper meaning of upvas, and that is, because as soon as they say upvas, today's upvas, today's Ekadasi upvas, means the quickly what they mean or think, oh, today's a fasting day, that's all everyone thinks. Oh, today's upvas, today's a fasting. But there's a upvas doesn't mean only fasting, there's a more than that. Upa means near, and vas meaning staying or residence. Vas, nivas. So upavas meaning staying near, residing near. Residing near what? Residing near the Lord. Or to reside near the lotus feet of the Lord. So Ekadasi Upavas day, or Janmashtami Upavas day, or Narasimha Chaturdasi Upavas, fasting Upavas. So that day is meant to stay near, get nearer, get closer to the Lord, or get closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. That is upvas. And then how do you do that? Well, eat less or don't eat. Because as soon as you eat so many things, then you also, the body stays busy digesting your food. So some energy is invested in that digestion. And if you eat a lot of food, then most of the energy is directed. What is happening? Translation stopped? For the digestion. And the blood goes to the stomach. Stomach becomes like a center of action, like a little factory there. And no activity is performed unless there's a blood circulation. There's no blood when there's a paralysis. There's no blood is not flowing, so you can't even move the hand. This is what basically happens. Yes, some other things happen. So blood is required. So then more blood goes to the stomach for action, and less goes to the brain side. Or some of the blood that was meant for the head division is directed to the stomach division. Internally they organize this. There's a whole management that goes on. When the head is not getting, brain cells and tissues are not getting the sufficient supply of blood, then what happens? That part stops functioning. Of course, with the blood comes oxygen. Energy comes. In the blood there's oxygen. So energy and oxygen has a connection, relationship. So when there's no eating or less eating, then a lot of energy is supplied to the brain. Fresh, alert, all the faculties in functioning, full speed, full scope, full-fledged action. The memories, revival, the computers is open quickly, all the chips supply the information, and you can retrieve information faster. You could store, you could reorganize this file here, that in memory there, so that whenever you need in future, you could also take it back. Not just dumping everything and then big pile, and then you don't know where is what. And when it's required, you're just spending half an hour just to get one little piece of information. So there's a whole system. Very complex, more complex than the computer. But because we have no involvement, we don't even know how it works. Like my wounds in my body. So they are being healed. The healing, I did not know how to heal them. I was just only looking at them from time to time. But I wasn't doing anything. I did not know how to bring the flesh in there, bring some, or even create some additional whatever it is called technically, the whole infrastructure, and how to feel Hare Krishna. Hare. So we know eating, then we go to bathroom. In between, we don't know what happens. Ready? Ready. Actually, the body functions because we think this is my body. I'm making it work, but that's not true. It's not true. We only know how to eat after food goes into the stomach. Then what juices are required for digestion and making that into blood and making that into flesh and making that into marrow and making that into bones, making that into some virya, semen in the male body. That we don't, I don't know. You don't know. It's all, what the Lord does say, Aham Vaishva Naro Bhutva Praninam Deham Asrita Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. I digest. I enter everybody's body. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva. I become some kind of expansion or a personality. Energy becomes person. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva. I become Vaishvanar. Enter you, your body, your stomach. Pachami annam, aham pachami annam, chaturvidham, chaturvidha sri bhagavat prasado. You have made offering of four kinds of foodstuffs to the Lord, and then you have mahaprasad. So chaturvidha, four kinds of food that one eats, or two kinds, or one kind, or maybe more kinds, but basically four kinds, something that is four kinds, meaning not four preparations. Meaning, some food is four kinds because some food is chewed and something you lick and something you swallow and like that. That's how there's a categorization into four kinds of foodstuffs, chaturvidha, lot of time we come across. So, these foods are digested by the Lord. And everything is done by Lord, Lord's energy, Maya Dhyakshena. A lot of people don't know that something like liver exists in the body is not known to millions of people in India. In the body, there is a organ called liver. They have not even heard the name. My mother did not know that liver, something like liver exists in the body, or pancreas, and even other some complex or remote names. Basically, head, heart, stomach, hands and feet and fingers. But inside, I wonder how many people know there's something called lungs are there in the body. But they don't have to know. Only when something goes wrong in the liver or in a heart or your part, then you are worried. Oh my God. But if you lead a normal, healthy life and everything is functioning, then you are like not involved. Your own body, but you are not involved. All these different parts within the body, hundreds of parts, and their interrelationship, and there's a communication, and there's a greasing and oiling and this and that, and that goes on. Nervous system, digestive system, respiratory system, so many systems are there. For people, the person who owns the body, he doesn't even know the names of what those different parts, what those different functions, but everything is going on. Everything is functioning. And this is what mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa. I am the superintendent, not only of death, but of the whole universe. I am superintendent. I operate. I function. On my behalf, my energies are functioning. So this also, just to have a little appreciation for God or God's, Krishna's nature and how it is functioning, and how we are practically not involved with the functions of the body. Everything is nicely packaged in the bag made up of skin, and we are taking care of some things externally, cleaning the body and feeding the body, and it's kind of finished. Then we go past 2, end of the day or end of the night, and ready for another uploading. Upload some food, then download some food or the residue. That's basically involvement. Everything else, we don't know how it's working, what's going on. But someone is making it work. Nothing is nothing like automatic. Somebody, when you don't know who is behind such and such activity, then you go, it's automatic. There's nothing like automatic. There's a person behind. So upavas is staying near the Lord. And we do it. So by eating less or fasting, then job becomes a little more easy. You're more free, or your body is more free to do other additional functions on that day, functions of hearing and chanting and studying. And that is what brings you closer to the Lord. So today is Upvas day, so either fasting or then after fasting is feasting, Ekadasi in ISKCON. The feasting comes. The real Upvas means closer to the Lord. And that close proximity becomes possible by hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Chanting and hearing, association of devotees, of course, darshan of the deities, bathing in the river, all these items. Sacred water brings us closer to the Lord, our Lord's lotus feet. As we take darshan, of course, Lord is right there. But after hearing and chanting, we look at the Lord, then we feel closer to the Lord. If we do not hear, chant, we do not feel that close connection or relationship. We are drawn closer to the deity of the Lord. We appreciate the Lord, Lord's presence in the form of the deity by hearing and chanting, studying shastras and bodhayantaha parasparam, talking about Sri Krishna. And of course, devotional service, performance, brings us closer to the Lord. Dham brings us closer to the Lord. So there's a, traditionally, you also go to holy place to observe some spiritual festival like Ekadasi or Janmashtami or some other Damodar Vrat, Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, Jagannath Puri. You go to Dham, you observe some spiritual festival. And that also brings you closer to the Lord, because Dham is non-different from the Lord. These are different aspects of the Lord, features of the Lord. But of all these different features, the Shravanam feature, Bhagavatam feature of the Lord, Bhagavad Gita feature of the Lord, this immediately drags the soul closer to the Lord. The sense of hearing is most effective in the body, sense of hearing. The sense of hearing, sense of seeing, sense of, you know, different senses, sense of touch, different senses, five senses. And amongst these five senses, sense of hearing is strong. Immediately gets your attention, it grabs your attention. So, Chaita Prangana Sangini Vijayate Sarvendriyani Krati. Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada said in that very famous slok that glorify the holy name of the Lord. He says, my dear Lord, when I hear your holy name, of course he says other things before what I just recited, there's some few things before, I feel like tunde tandivini ratim. Mitanute tundavali labdhaye, says tund. Tund is mouth. Tond. Marathi, in Marathi they call tond. In Sanskrit tund. Tunde tandivini. When in my mouth Lord's holy name begins dancing, they call tandav nratya. No, Shiva's dance is called tandav nratya. The Shiva, the way he dances, called Tandav Nratya. So the holy name, Tunde Tandivini, when in my mouth, Lord begins chanting on my tongue, the Lord reveals himself. Then, Ratim Vitanute, my Rati, my Asakti, my attraction for the Lord, vitanute, expands, increases. And then, tundavali lavdaye, tundavali. Tund means one mouth. Tundavali means many, many mouths. Like a deepavali. Deep is one lamp. Deepavali, avali means rose, one after the other. So, tundavali labdhai. I wish I had so many mouths. I had unlimited mouths. Oh, one mouth is not sufficient. How much could I chant with one mouth? Then I feel like having many, many mouths. Tundavali labdhai. Karna Kroda Ghatayate. There's one word missing. Karna Kroda. And then when these names I utter enter my ears, Karna Kroda Kadambini Ghatayate. Then that produces yet another desire. Labdhaye karna arbudebhya spriha. Then I have spriha, then I have a desire in me to have the ears. How many? Arbudebhya. Arbud is a big number in Sanskrit. They call arbud. Like a millions. Millions of years. Oh, one ear is not sufficient. With one ear, how much could I hear? I wish I had millions of ears to hear such a nectarian holy name. Karna arbudyebhya spriha. And then when finally such holy name arrives in my heart, reaches the chambers of my heart, my consciousness is touched, influenced by this chanting, chetaha prangana, like a courtyard. In the courtyard of my heart, chetaha prangana sangini vijayate. Then I become victorious. What kind of victory? Sarvendriyani krati. Then all the indriyas, all the senses, normally they are very busy. Senses are very, very busy. Wanting to see this, want to smell that, want to touch this. But immediately all those activities of my senses, they stop. Because my mind now is fully occupied with this chanting of the holy name, hearing, and that holy name has captured now my heart, conquered my my mind, and then, well, the senses just become inert. They can't even move. They are just there, doing nothing. They are coming with so many invitations. Oh, look at this, smell this, touch this. But the mind is absorbed, busy with the holy name of the Lord. Vijayate, I become victorious. And all the senses are defeated. And this way I am kind of disconnected from rest of the world. But because my connection with the rest of the world is through the senses. I communicate, reciprocate with the world through the senses. But when senses, which are different gates, when they are blocked, they are not functioning, then I am set free. I am totally free just to be busy with the Lord's holy name, with the Lord in the form of His holy name. Na jane janita kiyad bhir amritai krishneti varnadvayi. Then Rupa Goswami continues, he says, oh, then, as I chant and I feel, I wish I had millions of mouths. And as the sound enters the ears, I feel like I wish I had millions of ears. And when finally that holy name reaches my heart, I have become victorious. My senses are just inert. And then me, real me, my soul, have a real fun. And I, na jane, this holy name produces so much nectar, I can't estimate, I cannot measure how much nectar there is in the holy name. Krishna iti varnadvayi. Krishna iti varnadvayi. This Krishna. Dvayi, two. These two words, no, one word made up of two syllables, varnas. Oh, how much nectar they produce? How much nectar is produced by this name Krishna? I cannot estimate. So that is the way of, well, that's a realization of Rupa Goswami, and that's the way he glorifies the holy name. When the holy name reveals unto the chanter, then these are the experiences. This is the experience. So then you are right there with the Lord, and that is upavas. And that's a real upavas. That's the fasting. You have fasted from the objects of senses. You have fasted. And again, it is, as we said, fasting from objects of senses. So food is the object of our tongue sense. Tongue is one of the senses. And food or the taste is object. But the fasting, again, is not limited to, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhaktialok, he wrote one scripture called Bhaktialok. He explains that fasting is, again, generally, fasting means I don't eat today. So the meaning of fasting is not limited to fasting from food grains or fasting from food, but fasting from other senses also fasting, not only tongue fasting. The sight of seeing also should be fasting. Normally sight of seeing is feasting on beautiful scenes and nature and this and that, and opposite sex gives great pleasure to the eyesight, seeing the form, so many forms. Forms, how the forms are, the knowledge of the form, roop, is a activity of the sense of seeing faculty. The sense of seeing, eyesight, then we can see the forms. Otherwise forms may exist, but you can't perceive unless you have eyesight. So fasting from those forms. Don't bring those forms in. Not only don't bring the food in and fast. The tongue is fasting, but the eyes should be also be fasting on the day of upavas. Otherwise, getting closer to the Lord, residing closer to the Lord, would not become possible. And feasting from so many sounds, mundane sounds, mundane music, whisper, and the gram katha, and the politics, and being envious, talking of this person, criticizing that person, all this rubbish thing has to be kept out of the reach and the access, reach of and access to the ears. And that's yet another fasting. So all the senses, sense of touch, sense of touch very strong. And looking for some other touches, and by touch, so much pleasure. Conditioned soul enjoys pleasure just by touching. Touching different forms. Or the blanket, then, also has to give a touch. People do shopping, not just any chadar, any blanket, but they want to select such a pullover, whatever that you wear it. And that gives you sense of touch, special, soft, and like that. When you, the skin care also, you prepare your skin so that you could perceive all those finer sense objects or feelings of the touch of the sense object, of the sense, the touch. And the nose also should be fasting on the fasting day. Nose is going. You want to smell so many things. And there's a whole cosmetic industry for that purpose. If something is not smelling so nice, then you just apply some cosmetic, some powder, this, that, and then you smell it. Oh, very nice. One of the big industries, one of the biggest industries in the world is cosmetics, lipsticks and ointments and this and that for skin care. and lip care and your eyelid care and your so many, for every part, nook and corner of the body, there's some lotion, some powder, some paste, something. They're thinking day and night. So the body becomes smelly. And so fasting, all the senses fasting. Upavas. And then sarve indriyani krati, when all the senses are just sitting around doing nothing, or because no interest, person is not taking interest, he is withdrawn from the senses, his mind is preoccupied, his soul is busy with Krishna, chanting the holy name and hearing and chanting and dancing and maybe bathing in the river, taking darshan of the Lord. Of course, we engage senses. We don't just... Yogis may want to just keep their senses sitting around, but the perfection is to engage senses in the right positive spiritual activity. And that's the way to control your senses. Engage your senses. Controlling senses means engage your senses. And as soon as you take it easy, you relax, there's no spiritual positive activity for the sense, immediately the sense will look for some activity of some mundane nature. So today is a upavas day. And we're just trying to understand what is this upavas, what is this fasting. And so this external fasting even, or fasting from, okay, now I'm fasting, my tongue is fasting, my nose is fasting today, my eyes are fasting today, my ears are fasting today, my sense of touch is fasting today, means not act. So then what do I do? My mind and soul should be feasting on Krishna. Krishna's Shravan, Kirtan, and remembrance of the Lord. Feast. And we are, that's how linking with the Lord becomes possible. And that's perfection of life. That's life. So we are fortunate to be here in the Dham today. On the Ekadasi day. And we are fortunate that it is a fast day, at least half day till noon. So many reasons for good fortune or good fortune. We are fasting this morning is a good fortune. So take advantage of being in the Dham today. Take bath. chant your japa. You could do more attentively, try to do it more with better attention, concentration. Try to chant some best rounds of your life. Think of chanting. I want to chant today the best round of my life. The best concentration. With all devotion at my command, or all humility at my command also. So that will go deeper that way. Deeper into the heart. Dig deeper. So deep within the heart, there is the Lord's presence. He's also here in the form of His deity, standing before us. It is also within us, deep within us. If we remain shallow, only at the top, then we'll not be able to reach out. His lotus feet are good. Dig deeper, try to reach His feet and feel His presence. Then glorify Him, serve Him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had come to this dham 500 years ago. And he spent almost 2 weeks, Mahaprabhu spent in Pandharpur. Normally he would spend one day in one place, or sometimes just half day. Middle of the night he would get up and go, because otherwise in the morning billions of people would begin following him, which he did not want to happen during his tour. He wanted to travel by himself. So sometimes he would just get up and go. So the Lord, who spent just one day, half day, in most of the places. But here, in fact, there are two places, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord spent additional time. The other place is Sri Rangam, which is in Tamil Nadu, South India. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months of Chaturmasya in Sri Rangam, staying at Venkat Bhat's place and Lord Sri Rangam resides there. He is lying on Ananta Shesh and taking some rest. When Lord wants to take rest, he goes to Sri Rangam. In Vrindavan he is dancing. And when he gets up, he wants to have a meal, he goes to Jagannath Puri and he eats. And then when he wants to do a little business, he goes to Tirupati. He makes a lot of money. And when he is waiting for his devotees to come to him, when are they coming? Why are they not coming? Then he comes to Pandharpur and he's just waiting. Karakatavari Theoniya, with his hands. Okay, I will wait. Let them take their time. I'm not in a hurry. So Lord is standing, waiting in Pandharpur. But finally you have come, so nice. Lord is happy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that was, Sri Rangam was one place. He spent 4 months of Chaturmasya. And Pandharpur is another place where he spent almost 2 weeks. So during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels through South India, and this is considered, it's not technically South, it's a center, Maharashtra is a center, but that's the title given, South India Tour, which includes South India and Central India Tour. Mahaprabhu, yeah, comes here, and naturally, Lord also would take bath. Lord has taken bath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken bath in this river, Chandrabhaga. And then Lord would run to Vitthal Mandir, chanting and dancing, not just run. That's when someone is scared, one person runs. Run, not running like that. Is swiftly going towards the Lord, chanting and dancing. So he would take bath and go for darshan of the Lord and dance more in the temple in front of the deity. Then while he was here, there was a disciple of Madhvendra Puri. His name was Sri Rangapuri. Sri Rangapuri was in town. And when Mahaprabhu heard that Sri Rangapuri is in Pandharpur, immediately he rushed to go see Sri Rangapuri. And when he entered the home where Sri Rangapuri was residing, immediately offered his full dandavat. And then he gets up and they're both embracing each other, Sri Rangapuri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And both trembling and in tears. This is Gaudiya Vaishnava. These symptoms are found in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. They greet devotees, meet devotees. This meeting of heart, meeting with the Lord, as they are meeting, as devotees are meeting with each other, they are meeting the Lord also. Lord is in the middle, and then they are exhibiting all these symptoms of ecstasy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rangapuri, they sat down and they talked about Krishna day and night for 7 days. They were talking about Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then towards the end, this is all described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter what, 9? You could read, I'm sure our library here has this particular volume. Then towards the end of their being together and talking about Krishna together, Sri Rangapuri mentioned, you know, some time ago we went to Navadvip. Sri Rangapuri is talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We were in Navadvip. And in Navadvip, there is a town called Mayapur. We were in Mayapur. Of course, I was accompanying Madhvendra Puri. I was with Madhvendra Puri. And then one day, we were the guests of honor of Jagannath Mishra and his wife, devoted lady. See, they hosted us. We were the guests, they were the host. And, the prasadam, I can't forget the prasad kind of food that Mataji, Sachi Mata, cooked. And she fed us as if we were her children. She is Mata, Jagat Janni. She's a very good, best cook. Especially the one kind of curry that she cooked. Oh, I can't get that out of my head. I could, to this day, I remember the kind of curry that this Sachi Mata cooked for us. And while Sri Rangapuri was talking all this, he did not know that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had anything to do with this Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he said, "Oh, what are you talking? That's my mother." And this Jagannath Mishra, "That's my father. You were at my home, my parents' place." This is how some introduction took place. Otherwise, they were just busy talking about Krishna. They did not care, "How are you? Oh, what's the address? Oh, your phone number? Mobile, I want your mobile phone." And this and that. "And how is the weather?" And, "Kya bhav chal raha hai? What is the rate of this?" And "Petrol has become more expensive now." Like this, as time goes, 7 days are talking like this. People spend in the hotels. Which wine should be, which fine wine for lunch today or dinner today? Yeah, this is. But these two Prabhus, they were for 7 days together. They had no time to say, "How are you?" and "What's your address?" And they're just busy with Krishna. Krishna jinka naam hai, Gokul jinka dham hai, Yashoda jinki maya hai, Nanda ji bapaya hai, Radha jinki jaya hai, aur Adbhut jinki maya hai. Loota loota tadi makhana khayo, Gwala bala sanga dhenu charayo. Aise Sri Bhagavan ko barambar. They are just busy. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna is like this, father is this, mother is this. These are some of the activities. He stays here and he does this. Kaisi kai Mataji? He's feeling a little bit. And then he said, "But you know," Sri Rangpuri said, "that, now I could say, your parents were also very unhappy because both the sons took sannyas, or your elder brother Vishwarup took sannyas, left home." "Yes, that's true." Some response like that. And he said, "No, you know, Sri Rangapuriji, I'm traveling all over India, South India. My purpose is, I'm looking for my brother, you know. I know he's somewhere, or he went, I have some clues, maybe he went in, down south. So I'm traveling and looking for him. Have you heard of my brother, Vishwarup?" And Sri Rangapuri says, "Yes, yes, sure. I have heard about your brother, but I have bad news for you. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could realize what could that possibly be. Not just bad, but the worst news. The news was that his brother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brother, he had come to Pandharpur. Vishwaroop was in Pandharpur. He was known as Shankararanya Swami. He had taken sannyas. His sannyas name was Shankararanya. And he left his body. He departed from Pandharpur. Left back home, or he disappeared. No more. He's no more. So, of course, that news was heartbreaking for Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother and was looking for him and was wishing to meet him, find him, meet him, talk with him, spend good time with him. But now, knowing here in Pandharpur that he's no more, he was here, yes, he was in Pandharpur. Vishwaroop was in Pandharpur, but he has taken, attained samadhi, attained perfection. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Sri Rangapuri leaves Pandharpur first, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays for some more days in Pandharpur, and then he also leaves Pandharpur. And from here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes in the direction of Satara town. He goes in the direction of Krishna Venna confluence place. We were there a few days ago, if you remember, Bilumangal Thakur's place where Krishna Karnamrit was found. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come from South India, then Kolhapur. We were there yesterday. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Kolhapur. We came from Kolhapur to Pandharpur yesterday. So Mahaprabhu also traveled from Kolhapur to Pandharpur. And then Mahaprabhu continued to Krishna Venna river side, and then he continued some parts of Gujarat. And then through Madhya Pradesh, central India, he goes back to Jagannath Puri. And devotees were so happy, so delighted to see Mahaprabhu back in Jagannath Puri. So when we were celebrating 500th anniversary, 500th birth anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we had organized big Padyatra. ISKCON had organized big Padyatra. We started from Dwarka in Gujarat. That Padyatra party had come to Pandharpur. And there was a big reception in Pandharpur by residents and leaders, the priests of Pandharpur temple, Vithal Rukmini temple. We had opportunity to bathe the deity also. That time we did Abhishek. We had hundreds of devotees, Abhishekha Vitthal Deity in Vitthal Mandir. And so when just prior to the Abhishek bathing, the pujari was explaining the form of the Lord, or different features of the form of the Lord. His hands are this way, and look here, and look there, and Sri Vatsa here, and Kaustubhamani, and Makara Kundal, special kind of earrings Lord is wearing, special kind of crown he has. Oh, you saw the Lord in the back also, as we're doing parikrama of Radha Pandarinath. In the back we have Vitthal Rukmini. So amongst different signs and different features, one thing that he pointed out to us was the... he said, look, you see this footprint on the print of some foot on the chest of the Lord. He said, yes, we could see. And he said, this is a footprint of Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu had gone to see who amongst the three devatas is the topmost. Brahma, is that Brahma? Is that Vishnu? Is that Shiva? So after visiting Brahmalok and Kailash, Bhrigumuni had gone to Svetadvip, abode of Vishnu. And while Lakshmi was still there, massaging, she always massages the lotus feet of the Lord, always serving. She's a leader of that bhakti, Dasya, not Dasya, Padasevanam. One of the nine processes is Padasevanam. Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanive. So Padasevanam, who does Padasevanam? Lakshmi does Padasevanam. She was doing Padaseva, Seva of the lotus feet of the Lord. And Bhrigu arrives. So I'm sure you heard this past time in Kolhapur yesterday. Didn't you? You heard? So Lord comes, Bhrigu comes and he just... Bang! He kind of gave a big kick to the Lord, right in the chest, right in the front of the lady, the good wife, chaste wife. Anyway, we're not getting into the whole pastime. So, that footprint, the mark of Bhrigu's Hari. Hari. Lotus footprint is on Vitthal's chest, Lord's chest. Lord is keeping this as a memory, memorial. So anyone who taking darshan of the Lord is also taking darshan of the foot of Bhrigu, Lord's devotee, Vaishnava. As if that was a decoration, as if that is like some kind of alankar on his body. Lord could have gotten rid of that mark on his chest. He could have very easily done plastic surgery. You think he doesn't have money? His wife is Lakshmi herself. She could have flown to Texas. Lots of Indians go for some reason when they have some surgery. Some of our prime ministers and presidents, they fly to America. So Lord could have done and erased all those signs and... But no, he maintains that. He's keeping very dear. His devotees' feet are very dear to the Lord. Reminding the whole world of that pastime. So this is the kind of Lord he is. Lord who has so much affection for a Brahmin or a devotee. So that sign, footprint, we had darshan. This was in 1984 December. So when while our Padyatra party, 500th anniversary Sankirtan Padyatra party was in Pandharpur, then we installed footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Footprints. So as you're going around, there are footprints. Well, you notice there are footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You could read a little clock is there, the sign is there. Gives the information of why the footprints are there, or who, yeah, the history behind. So, so by visiting Holy Dham, Pandharpur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has glorified this Dham. This Dham has become even more glorious by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit of Pandharpur Dham. Has become more famous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the Gaudiya connection with Pandharpur. Balaram had come here before. While Balaram was traveling all over India to the Tirthas, holy places, while the battlefield of Kurukshetra was on and Balaram did not want to participate, he preferred going on pilgrimage. So that time Balaram also visited Pandharpur. And then wherever Balaram had gone, Nityanand Prabhu also visited those places. Balaram hoil anithai. Balaram has now appeared as Nityanand Prabhu. So following in the footsteps of Balaram, Nityanand Prabhu also visited Pandharpur. Nityanand Prabhu was in Pandharpur. And not only he was here, but he was initiated. Nityanand Prabhu was initiated in Pandharpur. Lakshmipati, huh? So there's a whole pastime about that. So, Vishwaroop spent some time here. This is the departure place. Vishwaroop departed from Pandharpur. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Pandharpur and he spends some additional time here. Other places, just quick visit. Pandharpur, relaxed time. And Nityanand Prabhu comes and he gets initiated here. He becomes initiated in Pandharpur. And then there are so many other saints, saintly persons and acharyas associated with this dham. So many of them. Shankaracharya also comes here. And otherwise he's a big staunch preacher of impersonalism. But when he was in Pandharpur, everything changed for Shankaracharya. Parabrahmalingam bhaje pandurangam. Parabrahmalingam bhaje pandurangam. By Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. As Brahma had said, the Shankaracharya is Shiva. Shankar has appeared as a Shankaracharya. He's topmost Vaishnava, but he's playing role of someone who spreads impersonalism, making things more difficult in this age of Kali. Causing some distraction. Then, but while he was here, his true color, his original Vaishnava nature manifested. And he fell in love with the Lord Vitthal, and Vitthal's form is Krishna himself, and he compiled Astak called, what is that Astak? Pandurangastak, called Pandurangastak. In the back, again on our parikrama path, right here behind, in Sanskrit, we have a Koi la sakta aage ho? He compiled 8 prayers glorifying Lord Vitthal. And each line, each stanza ends up with Parabrahmalingam bhaje Pandurangam. Bhaje, aham bhaje. I worship Pandurang. Who is Pandurang? Parabrahmalingam. Lingam means form. This is Pandurangastak. Mahayoga pite tate bhimaratya varam pundalikaya datum munindrai samagatya tishthan anandakandam parabrahmalingam bhaje pandurangam. Is glorifying parabrahmalingam, parabrahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan. You know the words of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, you are parabrahma, you are parabrahma. And linga, your form, your supreme form is Panduranga form, and I worship that form. Parabrahma lingam bhaje pandurangam. So this is beautiful. So all the Vaishnavas, devotees of Pandurang, they memorize Jaya Prasannatma. We have someone from Banaras here. Prasannatma Prabhu has just come from Varanasi. Reva Prasannatma. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. While Shankaracharya also was in Varanasi, he also was talking this భజ గోవిందం భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ మూఢమతే నహి నహి రక్షతి డుక్రా కర్ణే సంథింగ్ మిస్డ్ సన్నిహితే కాలే సంప్రాప్తే సన్నిహితే కాలే నహి నహి రక్షతి డుక్రా కర్ణే భజ గోవిందం భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ మూఢమతే you fool, worship Govinda. This is what he's saying. We saw, while he was in Varanasi, Shankaracharya noticed so many scholars there, so many pandits studying grammar and different features of grammar, vyakaran called Dukra Karane. Dukra and Karana, these are some aspects of grammar they are studying in depth, but they have forgotten the purpose of study of grammar of Sanskrit. This is meant to, so that you could study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and appreciate the Lord, worship the Lord, but they are just busy studying technical aspect, not using that in service of the Lord. Just presenting themselves to be big scholars and big pandits, mahapandits, but they never worship. So Shankaracharya, you fools, at the time of death, this knowledge is not going to be of much help. Stop it. Worship Govinda. Bhaja Govinda. Bhaja Govinda. Govindam bhaja moodhamate. So, like that, although he was playing a role of a Mayavadi, impersonalist, he was a big leader, Shankaracharya. But some places he has exhibited his Vaishnava behavior and qualities, like he did here and Varanasi. Guru Vayur also, we know, he was forced. Shankaracharya was flying in the sky. He has such siddhis. He was just flying over Guru Vayur Mandir temple. And then he was able to hear the beautiful prayers and hymns and sounds glorifying the Lord and coming from the temple, Darshan Mandap, and he was going above. And he did not appreciate that. He was envious, and his, because of his impersonal tendencies, he was thinking, oh, Lord is supposed to be all pervading, and he has no form, and he has no qualities, and he's just Brahman, and we also find it emerging to him, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, I am that. And he was full of pride as he was flying over that temple. But then that resulted in him losing all the, well, the power of flying. And he fell right in the courtyard of Guru Vayur temple. He was up high, up there. Because he was envious and the Mayavadis are, they're trying to compete with the Lord, and I am the Lord, we could become Lord. Why this glorification? Why he should be glorified? As a result, he lost all the powers, all his siddhis, all his flying power, and he fell right in the courtyard of the temple. And when he fell, he realized the blunder, the offensive mentality. And then Shankaracharya literally crawled to the deity's lotus feet, and begged for forgiveness. And he took vow of worshipping that deity. And then he established whole regime, the whole process of Archana Paddhati, according to this, of course, Shastras, so that the deity worship is taken care of perfectly with all glories and all the mantras and all the hymns and all everything was in place. So he even upgraded the whole deity worship of Guruvayur temple. And they claim that what Shankaracharya established, the process of deity worship of Guruvayur in Kerala, same thing is continued to this day. So there are some temples where, some holy places, Shankaracharya was a full-fledged Vaishnava. So, and this is one glaring example of his compilation of Pandurangastak. Sant Tukaram, you know Sant Tukaram. So he, and there are many other hundreds and hundreds of names of saintly persons associated with the deity of Pandurang Vittal. Tukaram was a great devotee. You have, the two devotees have gone to Tukaram's birthplace. Yes, you were there. You remember? Mishra Bhagwan didn't go. You saw the movie. There's some difference. Seeing movie and being there. So from there, from that, his home village, he would come here regularly, walking, but not alone, with hundreds and thousands of devotees. They would come walking and singing and dancing. And Tukaram Maharaj was on the planet some 400 years ago. And that tradition of coming in the procession, it continues to this day. It is 18 days pilgrimage called Dindi. And now, with the passing of time, even more people are walking on. There's another procession, starts from another town. In fact, there are hundreds of such processions. Two are main ones. One is Tukaram, another one is another saint, saintly person, Gyaneshwar. But there are other dindis, other such processions from other holy places, or even villages or towns. So Tukaram would come here. Walking and chanting, playing his veena. Pandurangha, 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 Pandurangha. But one year he was not able to come. It was time to go on Dindi. And one year, because he was not well, he couldn't go. But he was feeling so bad, oh, I can't go. I'm going to miss this pilgrimage and I'm going to miss darshan of Vittal on the Ekadasi especially. we take darshan of the Lord. So I'm going to stay behind. I'm not able to walk. But I have to take darshan. I must take darshan. So Tukaram wrote letter to Vithal. Tukaram wrote letter to the Lord. This is one famous pastime, dealing between Tukaram and Pandurang. And he gave the letter, please take this. Give this to the Lord, this letter. Okay? And maybe you could read to him. So this person went walking 18 days. Then finally, it was Ekadasi day. A million people had come for darshan of the Lord. So this particular neighbor, friend of Tukaram, he also stood in long queue. And after long time, 8 years, 12 years, not years, hours, it was his turn to take darshan of the Lord. He was in front of the deity. Then quickly he got the letter out. My dear Lord, Tukaram has given you a letter, some urgent message for you. Oh, what is it? So then he opens the letter and he reads out the message to the deity. The message was that because I cannot come, is it possible for you to come meet me? We could have darshan where I am staying. If this could be managed, I'll be highly obliged. Please, Lord, please come. Lord is a father, son is sick, so naturally, son could expect, please, daddy, please, father, please come, or so feelings, emotions, bhav, like that. So, as Lord heard the message which was read out to him, Lord was willing to immediately go to Dehu, to Karan's birthplace. But when Rukmini came to know that her Swami husband was ready to go away from Pandharpur, she said, no, my dear Lord, today is Ekadasi. It's the biggest day of the year. And do you not know that how many of your devotees have come for your darshan? They will be deprived of your darshan if you go away like this. But Tukaram is not well, no. He has requested a special appeal. I feel like going, I had to go. So they're both thinking what to do. On one side, Tukaram is wanting him, Lord, to go. On the other side, million pilgrims are in town. They want to take darshan. So thinking, Rukmini had one proposal. Why not we do this? What is it? The Garuda is sitting around. He has nothing much to do. Send Garuda to Dehu, and your Tukaram could be fetched could bring, Garud could bring Tukaram here instead of you going there. Let Tukaram come here and you could, he's not able to walk, but he can have a nice ride on the back of Garud and you'll be here in no time. Oh, such a wonderful wife. I'm highly pleased. You are very intelligent. Okay, let's do that way. I will stay behind. And let Garud go. So Garud was ordered to go and bring Tukaram to Pandharpur. So Garud immediately took off and went flying in the direction of Dehu. And soon he was over Satara and other towns and Pune. Oh, and he's looking. Oh, it's Dehu. And he's kind of getting into landing gear, landing mood, descending. And Tukaram, who was so anxious, and he was kind of confident. Oh, today is Ekadasi day. Today, my friend, he must have communicated my message to the Lord. So he, Lord, should be coming. Should be coming. It's 10:30, he should be coming. Then Tukaram saw, while he was thinking, he was outdoor waiting, although not feeling well, but he wanted to be there to greet the Lord. So he was right in front of his house, waiting for the Lord. And then suddenly he saw the Garud. And by seeing Garud, he became anxious and excited. Oh, my Lord is here, my Lord is here. Garud is. He did not know. It was only Garud and not the Lord. Soon, Garud comes closer and closer and closer and lowers himself down. And then Garud gave the news. So Tukaram soon realized, of course, Garud is there, Lord is not in the back, sitting. But what happened? Why have you come empty-handed, empty back? Oh, you know, today is Ekadasi and this happened and that. You know, so many people, million people are there for darshan of the Lord. So it was proposed that I go and bring you to Pandharpur. So please come up, sit here. But Tukaram said, no, no, no. What? How is that possible? This is the carrier of my Lord, my Swami. I can't use the same Garud Asan, this Garud vehicle for my purpose. No, no, that's not possible. I can't go. Please go convey this message to the Lord and ask him to come himself. So what could Garud do? Disappointed as he was thinking of rendering service to Lord's devotee, but he said, no, no, I can't use the Lord's vehicle. He goes back. So by evening, he returned. Oh, where is Nare Tukaram? He's not coming. Why? He doesn't want to use your vehicle. I'm your vehicle, your transportation, exclusively for yours. So So some lot of time had passed. It was all day. All these pilgrims, they had been taking darshans. Most of them had darshan. So Lord was ready to go. And then he sat on the back of Garuda. He took Rukmini with him. And they flew back, went to Dehu again. And Tukaram was hoping and waiting. And this time Garuda coming, and it was not only Garuda but the Lord on the back of Garuda. Everything worked out perfectly. He greeted the Lord and praised the Lord and thanked the Lord and took lots of darshan. He drank the beauty of the Lord with his trembling body and rolling in the dust, touching his feet. And then after Tukaram was fully satisfied, Lord returned to Pandharpur and continued giving darshans to the remaining pilgrims. So this is one of the many pastimes also. Lord's loving dealings with his devotees. This metal is known for that. Very loving. So pilgrims coming to Pandharpur Dham, Vittal Darshan, they basically come for darshan of the Lord. That purity of thought and the purity of purpose is maintained. Even the ordinary pilgrims coming, they are coming on pilgrimage to see the Lord. They are not ordinary, they are extraordinary. But those who come, so they may not be big brahmacharis or sannyasis, or they are just grahasthas or simple folks. But when they come, the purpose is darshan of the deity, darshan of the Lord. So other, we know the holy places are always associated, this benediction, that benediction, this prayer, that prayer. How could I get good wife and this sickness and so many things. Could I get more money? Oh, Balaji, I'm giving you 100,000, but I hope that will multiply and you'll give me in return 100-fold. And like that, what goes on? Bhukti kami, mukti kami, siddhi kami. With so many kinds of kamanas, desires. Sukha sampatti ghar ave, kashta mite tanaka. Let all the wealth of the world come to my home. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Oh, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. I'll keep some doors or windows open so that when Lord comes, you could maybe throw some wealth. I'm worshipping him in the front, from the behind he could throw some wealth. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Swami, sukha sampatti gharave. Kashta mite tanaka. Some relief for my body. I have done so much traveling or sickness, or when could my wounds be healed. For anything, everything. people go to the place of pilgrimage. And different tirthas are associated with different kinds of benedictions. But here, this is my personal realization also, that pilgrims coming here, they basically come for darshan of the Lord. They want to see the Lord. Of course, Gaudiya Vaishnavas as we are, but that, no. So, yeah, that's not, I'll not make other comments. So they come from long distance traveling, and then they have to stand in long queues for darshans. And the special feature of darshan is every person has to go in front of the deity and take darshan. Not the hall full, 1,000 people at a time, okay, go 1,000 people. Next batch of 1,000, okay, next batch of 1,000 people. No, one person at a time. Lord and you. And because 1 million people, pilgrims, have to come in front of the Lord in one day, during Ekadasi day, and they try to push you. But when the population was less in the world and in India, and the days were better, good old days, people were trustworthy, and then each pilgrim coming for darshan of the Lord, not only he would get to be in front of the Lord, just him and the Lord, time reserved for him, but he would also get to embrace the Lord. They would embrace the deity of the Lord. This was a tradition 150 years ago. And then one of the pilgrims, he unsuccessfully attempted to harm the deity. He was trying to hear some ill motivation. So then they decided to change that policy of everyone getting to embrace the deity. Now they could only touch the feet of the deity, not only with the hand, but with the head, and go. So after you could see the faces of those who take darshan of the Lord. Their faces become lit, joyful, after taking darshan of the Lord, and they're satisfied. The Lord is standing on, first of all, because he's standing on a brick, that's another story, another pastime. He is known as Vitthal. In Marathi, in Hindi also. In Hindi, brick is called eat, and in Marathi, the brick is called wheat. And the Lord who stood on the brick is Vitthal. What is Vitthal? Who is Vitthal? One who stands on the brick is Vitthal. This is how the name. He gets that name. So he's standing on a brick with his hips, with his hands on the hips, on his waist. So this is kind of waiting mudra. He's waiting for his devotees to come and meet him. He's anxious to meet them. So There's a interpretation or understanding of Lord's hands on his hip. Why? What is Lord trying to convey with by keeping his hands on the hips? And it has been explained that Lord is trying to convey to the pilgrim coming to him that you have come now to me. You are in the ocean of material existence, drowning deep and sometime up and some lots of time down, and you have gone through this lot. But now as you have come to me, the ocean is not very deep here. How deep is it? Only this deep, this much deep. So you could manage, right? As soon as water is that deep, waist deep, then nothing to fear. Usually you go to the Jagannath Puri beach, we were there just last week, and there are signs. You could only go that far. You go deeper, then there's a risk. Deep ocean. So on the beach, it's safer. Don't go inside. So Lord is trying to say, you are in the deep ocean now, as you have come to me, it has been managed, it has been arranged, that the ocean is very shallow here. Now you could just walk, jump out. You're crossing. Here you're crossing the ocean of material existence as you have come to me. You're welcome. I'm happy. So we also have traveled long distance and come here. So at some point, you could all go take darshan of Radha Pandarinath. I was going to say, Vitthal Rukmini could go take darshan. I think some devotees, let's see, maybe this afternoon when you go for Nagar Sankirtan, you could end up in the temple, take darshan. Otherwise, tomorrow morning also, it's very special, Mangal Arati of Vitthal. Very, very special. But you have to be there by 4 o'clock. Before 4, standing in a queue. Let's see. And then you could sit there. You could sit there while they wake up the deity, and they then undress the deity, then bathe the deity, and new outfit for the deity, and arathis, and they feed the butter to the deity in the middle of his bath. Hey! My butter, mommy! Butter! He's missing his butter in the middle of his bath. The pujaris still have the arathis in their hands, their abhishek ingredients, and some are doing arati and he's demanding butter, and someone rushes and gets butter, big ball like this, and bless him. He's eating. Bal Krishna. Little Krishna. Baby Krishna. So that's very special darshan. So there'll be some announcements to that effect.